Hey, we're in a series that we started last week called Temptation. I think we hit a chord. I think we've all been involved with temptation before, some tests and some trials and some challenges. We want to look deeper today. We'll go one more session next week, kind of talking about some other things along this, because it just needs more than just a couple of Sundays, because of just the implications that we've all been around. What I'm going to do today, lots of word like we normally do. Then I'm going to do something I don't think I've ever done before. I've got a pastor, not a friend, but a guy that I know of, who wrote, I'm subscribed to his regular emails, and he was writing two men, and I got a hold of this, and I'm going to read you a lengthy email, so bear with me at the end that it's written so well. I thought, I'm going to read this to you, because it just ties into exactly what we're talking about today. We'll do that at the end of the service, and we'll have a time that we'll all in the room, just make sure we got our hearts right before God concerning temptation, concerning tests, and concerning some trials that we've all been succumbed to. We found out last week that the word temptation in the Greek means two things. It's translated a couple different ways. It's translated, it could be a temptation to sin, but it can also be translated a test or a trial of your faith. So when you read the word, you've got to read the text, and you've got to read the context in which it was written in to see, is this a temptation from the enemy? We found out last week, we'll read again the scripture. Or is this a test or a trial, a situation I'm dealing with, a test from God? We found out last week. Or is this a trial that I'm going through, a difficulty, a challenge I'm going through? Look on the screen, a couple thoughts as we start today. We said this last week. A temptation is Satan's desire to destroy our faith. This is Satan's desire. This is what a temptation, the root of the temptation is for. It's Satan's desire to destroy your faith. But we're going to find out, and we have found out last week a little bit, is that a test is God's desire to strengthen your faith. A test is God's desire to strengthen your faith. The scripture says that God tested Abraham, we read last week. He tested him. He tested him. He proved him. We found out that last week, in Matthew chapter 4, it actually says the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tested, to be tempted, to be tried by the enemy. Pretty amazing scripture. Pretty amazing scripture. You need to pay attention to that. James chapter 1, verse 12, look at this. And again, if you weren't with us last week, write some of these things down. Meditate on them. I think they're going to help you. Look what it says in James 1:12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Let's stop right there. James tells us, I can endure every temptation comes my way. Blessed. There's a blessing. There's a blessing. There's something of God that we tap into when we endure. We back away from temptation. We can endure. We can deal with temptation. We don't have to give in to every temptation. It says, for when he has been approved. So in every temptation, in every challenge, in every difficulty, there will be a proving time of who you are, what you know, what you will say no to, what you will yield to, saying yes to God, no to my flesh, and definitely no to the enemy. When he has been approved, we found out last week, he or she will receive the crown of life, the scripture says, which the Lord has promised to those who love them. We find out that there's this crown of life really is symbolic of tapping into the power of eternal life, everlasting life. That there's a divine ability, a divine strength that comes to every man, every woman, every teenager, every young adult that going through temptation, going through when you're at a crossroads and you don't give in, there's a crown of life. You get stronger because you say no. You get weaker when you say yes. Now notice what it says. I think this is just how James writes this by the power of the Holy Spirit. He says that you will receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised, notice, to those who love him, love them, that I love him. I love him. And so I was just thinking about it this morning and just asked Maya to put up on a screen for us. is that I really think that this is powerful. This is so simple, but I think it's easy for us to see. Hopefully you can see it. We need to love God more than you love the temptation. He's promised a crown of life, will receive a crown of life to those who love him. So when I'm dealing with temptation, when I'm dealing with the weakness in my flesh, when I'm dealing with a struggle, when I'm dealing with the trial, when I'm going through something and my flesh is wanting something, my mind is talking to me, I want to say something, I want to watch something, I want to do something, I want to just get out of character, if you will, or maybe it is my character that I need to work on. The scripture tells me that if I will start working on, I love God more than I love the temptation. I love you. I want to please you. I want to serve you. You told me that I can endure this. And so, Lord God, I want to receive the crown of life, that I can tap into eternal life, a quality of life with you that I'm not enjoying right now. So, Lord God, I'm asking that you deliver me, as we prayed, and we'll look at it again from Matthew 6, that you deliver me from this temptation, from this situation that I'm going through. He says in verse 13, James 1:13, let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. He himself doesn't tempt anyone. So we can find out right here that temptation is evil. Come on, would you say that with me? Temptation is evil. Come on, say it with me. Temptation is evil. So whatever you're dealing with right now, we all got something. Come on, some of us might have a bag of temptations we're dealing with. And so whatever it is, maybe you got one, maybe you got a couple. Listen to me. That is your weakness. We all got it. We all got it. Temptation. We need to look at this as saying, that is evil. I hate that. I don't want that. I desire you. I want to be approved by you. I want to receive the crown of life. I can endure this, Lord God. I'm going to look to you. I love you more than my flesh wants that. God's not tempting. Therefore, temptation doesn't ever come from God. Doesn't ever come from God. Let me give you three scriptures as we kind of like set the stage. And Peter, this is all over the Bible, by the way, guys. Set the stage up for what Peter says just concerning temptation, because he's got something to say. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. Blessed be God, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He tells us, verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, it's undefiled, it doesn't fade away, it's reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's a mouthful, I know. But then verse 6 starts out this way, because here's why I read it, because verse 6 just doesn't make sense until you read this. Verse 6 says, in this you greatly rejoice. So stop right there. In what do I greatly rejoice? In verse 3, 4, and 5. We greatly rejoice that we have a living hope. We greatly rejoice that we have an inheritance by God. We greatly rejoice, verse 5 says, that we're kept by the power of God. So I've got this on my hand, and I'm rejoicing that I'm kept by the power of God. I'm rejoicing that I've got a living hope. I'm rejoicing that I've got an inheritance in Christ. But I got something else going on over here. Verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Anybody ever been going through a trial and you went, this is amazing. This is awesome. This is great. You've been grieved. Come on, somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, you're grieving right now. Come on, you're grieving right now. Been grieved by various trials. Why do they come? Why do these trials come? Aren't you glad? The Bible's going to tell you. Verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, it's getting ready to get hot, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation or the appearing of Jesus Christ. Peter writes and says, listen, you've got an inheritance. You got a living hope. You've been kept by the power of God. But also, listen, in this life experience, there's going to be some trials. There's going to be some tests. There's going to be some temptations. There's going to be some difficulty. And they ain't going to make you happy. I'm telling you right now, you're going to be grieved. There's going to be some grieving going on in your life over what you got to walk through. But don't let the grieving be the focus. Let the power and the inheritance and the name and the provision of God be your focus. Come on, turn your focus. Come on, turn your eyes off of it and turn your eyes on him. He said that the genuineness of your faith, God's allowing this. He says the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold. Come on, much more precious than gold. Come on, $3,400 an ounce or whatever it is right now. That's a lot of preciousness. Though it be found unto the praise and the honor and the glory of at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So it's interesting, this word trial, the trial of your faith, the trial of your faith. Look on the screen. It means the proving. It means the trying. It means the testing of your faith. It means God's going to look to show it to be authentic and not fake. I think there's probably some people that got fake faith. And God says, what's going to happen in your life is that there's going to be a trial. There's going to be a proving to see if what you say you believe, you really believe. If to say who you serve, you really serve. God is going to allow our faith to be tested by fire. It's going to get hot. There's going to be situations where you're dealing with things and it's a proving. It's a trying time. Old King James says something kind of interesting. Look on the screen. It says, wherein you greatly rejoice. He says there, wherein you greatly rejoice. Though now for a season. So every trial, every test, everything we go through is a season. It's not going to be forever, but do what you need to do in the season you're in. Come on, you need to know what season you're in. Is it a season that I need to make sure I separate from some stuff in my life because God's drawing me close. And here's what I know. Every time God's drawing you close, the enemy's going to try to get closer. God gives you a word. The enemy will challenge that word. Constantly, you got to know this. When you hear a truth from the word of God, the devil will say, I'm sending some demonic spirits to try to take that seed from your heart. You got to know you're in a trial. You're in a test. You're in a difficulty. You could be in a temptation. And you got to know what I do in the middle of all that so I don't succumb to the enemy's tactics. But it only is for a season. We've said this for years. Every believer can outlast the devil. Can I get an amen? Amen. Listen to me. He's a quitter. He'll back off on the word of God. You stand strong in the word of God. You worship God. Come on, you speak the word of God. Come on, the devil will have to retreat. Can I get an amen in the house? Yeah. So these temptations, he says, King James, it's just for a season. If need be, again, that you're in heaviness. Then this is crazy, through manifold temptations. New King James, grieved by many trials or various trials, by manifold. Like Peter says, you might be in the middle of many temptations right now. A temptation to quit on your marriage, a temptation to quit. In the flow of God for your life, a temptation to quit, believe in God. All kinds of stuff come to us. And he tells us what you do in the middle of this situation. It will just be a season. But if you quit, if you back off, if you give in, can I tell you, you're going to elongate the season. It just seems like there's a lot of folks, a lot of Christians, that they're always in trials, always in tests, always in temptations. And I'm kind of thinking, you must not be past first grade yet. God has to keep bringing you back. When you need to learn how to stand against this and let your heart be drawn to God and love God more than you do the situation. Can I get an amen in the room? Temptation to doubt God, temptation to fear, temptation to lie, temptation to lust, temptation to envy, temptation for greed, temptation to covet, temptation to just not forgive, temptation to be angry all the time. Stuff we deal with. So Peter says this, he goes on to say in chapter 4, verse 12, beloved, I like how he starts it out, beloved, don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial. Here it is again. The fiery trial, which is to try you, though something strange has happened to you. Some strange things happen to you. Listen to me. This is what we deal with in this life. We're going to go through fiery trials. We're going to go through situations that you go, I didn't pray for it, didn't ask for it, but the devil's messing with me right now. People are messing with me right now. Come on, everybody. I'm serving you. I'm serving you. I'm seeking you. I'm desiring you. Listen, we got stories from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Anytime, one more time, people start drawing near to God, the devil starts throwing all kind of agitation. So you need to recognize this is a trial. This is a test, or this is a temptation. Lord God, I'm going to hold steady, and I'm going to make it through the finish line. Can I get an amen in the house? Again, we can make it through the fiery trial because you understand the terminology in the Bible that the fiery trial, the gold more purified, that when you fire up gold and it gets purified, all the dross rises to the top. So what's God doing? What's God saying? I'm going to allow the fiery trial to come into your life so you can see what's really in you. He'll use it. He'll use it. So don't be used by the trial. How about you flip the script and use the trial to prove God's faithfulness and his goodness in your life? That's what we do. Come on. So I got thinking about this because like what are the tests? What are the trials? What are they supposed to be doing in me? Right? Come on, what's the purpose? If God's a good father, come on. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I know I'm loved by you. And who I am. It's who I am. You're a good father. Come on, y'all know that song? They would sing it for like ad nauseum. And you're kind of going, okay, I got it. He's a good father, right? But he is. He is. So James 5 says this. James 5, how are we doing? We doing okay this morning? Yeah. Come on, we're going to win over temptation. We're going to stay strong in the midst of tests and trials. Look what it says, Romans 5:3. And not only that, we also glory in tribulations. Come on, say it with me. I'm going to glory. Come on, say it like you mean it. I'm going to glory in tribulations, testings, trials, difficulties. We glory. Woo! Hallelujah. This test, this trial, this tribulation ain't going to break me. It's going to make me. I'm getting ready to get stronger right now. I'm going to come out the other side. Come on, you throw me in the lion's den, I'm coming out petting kittens. Come on, somebody. You throw me in the fire, I'm coming out shining, man. Come on, everybody. So he says this, we glory in tribulations, but you got to have this, this word, knowing. Knowing. You ain't going to glory in tribulations unless you know this. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Tribulation is going to produce perseverance. I'm going to endure. I'm getting stronger in the midst of this trial, this situation. And it's producing perseverance, and perseverance is producing, amplified, says, godly character in me. So God's like saying, Gary, you ain't going to get this one quick. You're going to have to stand a little bit. It's a trial. Everything into your eyes and ears is going to be against what I'm telling you, the word of God. But you're going to have to be drawn near to my word and looking at that mountain and say, that mountain is going to move in Jesus' name. And not be discouraged if you're in a season of manifold temptations. Because if you'll stand strong, that temptation, that test, that challenge, come on, somebody, it's going to pass. You're going to win. You're going to win. Come on, you're going to win. You're going to win. You're going to win. So tests, look on the screen. Tests, trials, challenges, and difficulties are allowed by God. That's the operative word. Allowed by God to produce something in you and draw you closer to Him. They're allowed by God. He allows tests. He allows the challenge. He allows the trial. He allows the tribulation. I didn't say He caused the tribulation. We're going to find out a couple things here that kind of breaks this down a little bit. But God will use the tribulation. He'll use the trial for His glory so that you will draw closer to Him, closer to your word. Come on, you know, I've been doing this. Me and PK have been doing this for a bit, you know, almost, you know, 4 decades now. And so it's interesting that you can always, I don't try to like pop your bubble and try to be mean, but you can always see when somebody's going through a challenge and a difficulty, and all of a sudden they start showing up at church every week. And then they come to small group, and they ain't never been a small group before. And then they show up on Monday night prayer. And then all of a sudden, when the manifold temptation leaves, when all of a sudden the trial's gone, you go, where they at? Where they at? You got what you needed, but you really didn't get what you really need. So the fiery trial is getting ready to come back. And you got to pass that test until you pass that test and keep drawing near to Him. So Jesus says this in John 16:33. Are we doing all right, guys? Enough word this morning? John 16:33? Look, come on. If you need some more word, we'll give you some more word. John 16:33. These things I've spoken to you that in me you may have what? Peace. Come on, read this next line. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Come on, let's read that one more time. Come on. These things I've spoken to you that in me you may have what? Peace. In the world you will have, but what? Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I've deprived it of power to hurt you, harm you. The word tribulation in one of my study Bibles says this. It says that it's pressure, stress, and anguish. How many know that's just not good news? But in the world, you're going to have pressure, stress, and anguish. And the word picture, again, Hebrew and Greek sometimes, the Hebrew translation, it's always word picture. There's always a word picture with it. And it actually means squishing, squashing, squeezing. That's what it means. Squishing, squashing, squeezing. Come on, somebody. That sounds like a rap. Squishing, squashing, squeezing. Don't get me singing. Come on, somebody. Don't get me rapping. I'll start dancing and doing the ditty up here or something. I don't know. I don't want to do the ditty. I guess I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. That's pretty bad right there. Pressure. Squishing. We don't do that on Father's Day especially. Father's Day. Squishing, squashing, squeezing, right? Pressure's coming. Anguish is coming. Difficulty is coming. Stress is coming. That's what we get. That's what tribulation is. But be of good cheer. In other words, if we're going through something and everybody knows by the look of your face you're going through it, you're not a good cheer. You better have some good friends that you're real with and you can say, I'm going through a situation. Will you pray with me? I got a temptation. Or I got a test. I'm going through a trial. Will you pray with me? That's awesome. That's godly. But if we can look on your face every single Sunday and we go, man, brother's in tribulation again. Come on, somebody. Like, look at him. He was here. He's been in tribulation since 2013. Come on. Be a good cheer. Be a good cheer. So let's delineate, if you will, these three things that the scripture talks about. Look on the screen. I think this is going to help somebody. Temptations are sent by the devil to derail our faith. Temptations. Tribulations come from this world to slow our faith. Tribulations, pressure, stress, anguish, to slow our faith. And last, tests are allowed by God to prove our faith. Temptations, tribulations, tests What are you in right now? We're supposed to pass the test. We're supposed to stand in the trial, persevere, and we're supposed to resist temptation. Hebrews 2:18. Because he himself, in his humanity, speaking of Jesus, has suffered in being tempted, he is able to help and provide immediate assistance to those who are being tempted and exposed to suffering. What a great scripture. Jesus, the scripture says, he knows what you're dealing with. He knows what you've been through. He knows this human existence. He was tempted. He was suffered. So temptation is suffering. Suffering temptation. Listen, do you suffer in temptation or do you want the temptation? I don't want it. I don't want to be tempted by the devil. And so I'm going to love you more than I want that. Because that temptation is showing I got a weakness in my flesh, Lord God. And I want you more than that. So the scripture's telling us, church, listen to me. We run to Jesus in your temptation so you won't have to hide from him in your sin. He knows exactly what it's like. He knows exactly what it's like in his flesh. How and where was Jesus tempted? We know it, in the wilderness. His temptation was three things. The scripture tells us. He was tempted in physical needs. Physical needs. Listen to me. Turn the stone to bread. Turn the stone to bread. Man, you've been fasting 40 days and 40 nights. You got to be hungry, Jesus. Turn that stone to bread. Come on, man. You can do anything. You're God. Temptation and your physical needs being met. You're going to be tempted in this area. God, are you really going to take care of me? Have you seen what rent is around here? I don't know if I'm going to trust you in this area. I can't tithe and rent, pay rent. I can't tithe and buy a car. I can't tithe and put the kids through school. I can't do it. You're being tempted with your money, your stuff, physical needs. You're going to be tempted with pride. The devil took him up to the tower. Cast yourself over. God will give his angels charge over you. Come on. You're God, aren't you? God will back you up, won't he? Pride. I got this. I can handle this. I don't need God until you do. And then power. If you just bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms. You don't need Jesus like your mama needs him or like some of these other crazies around here in church. No. It's a temptation. Going to continually meet these. Going to continually face these. And we can find out from the scripture, church, listen to me. Although God allows us, and that's the operative word, doesn't cause it, but allows us to be tempted. He's faithful, the scripture says, never to allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to bear. Read it with me. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation, come on, say no temptation, has overtaken you such as is common to man. This is part of our natural human experience. But God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, he will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God says, in every temptation, there is a door of escape. Can I plead with you? Take the door. Take the door. The door might be closed. It's probably not an open door. You got to say, I want out of this temptation. And I'm going to open the door, and I'm going to draw close to God. And I'm going to find myself in you and get strong in the midst of this temptation. Last week we said several things. Look on the screen. I'll read them to you quickly. Temptation is not a sin until you yield to temptation. Next, God is never going to trap you with sin to see if you'll overcome. A third thought, There is no point praying for victory over temptation if we're not willing to make a commitment to say no to it. Confess your temptation so you won't have to confess your sin. What do you mean? Lord, I'm being tempted in this area. I'm coming to you. I haven't sinned yet. I haven't done anything. But my mind is messing with me here. My emotions are messing with me here. So, Lord, I'm coming to you, and I'm confessing the temptation. Strengthen me, Lord God. Deliver me from this evil. A temptation from the devil is meant to ruin you. Meant to ruin you. A test from God is meant to strengthen you, he said. So you endure a test, and you run from a temptation. The prayer Jesus prayed in the Lord's Prayer, that we have it in the scripture in Matthew 6, 13. Look it on the screen and come on, say it with me. Would you do it? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Several church fathers, that these are men that lived between 100 AD and about 250 AD, several of them said concerning this verse, several things, as we talked a little bit last week about this in a little bit more length. But it's a prayer. One church father said this, this scripture, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Is that this is a prayer asking God that we wouldn't be seduced by temptation and give in to temptation. Someone else said this, a church father said, it's warfare language. It's a cry for help. That you're dealing with a spiritual battle. It's a warfare language. Deliver me from this evil one. Someone else, a church father, said it's a prayer of perseverance. One more said that the prayer is, don't allow me to succumb to temptation. Protect me from temptation. How many know there'd be a good prayer to pray every day before you go to work, before you send your kids out? Here's the lengthy email I told you I wanted to read to you because I think it's powerful. The title of the email that this pastor wrote that I received 2 weeks ago was called Cracks. Cracks. Things overlooked in our 20s and 30s have the power to destroy us in our 40s and 50s. David was called a man after God's own heart, a warrior, a military leader, a beloved king, yet there was Bathsheba. We're all familiar with the story of Bathsheba and the time of the year when the kings went to war. It tells us in 2 Chronicles, David stayed back from the battle. He walked on the rooftop and he saw her bathing. He had a palace full of wives, a house full of concubines, and a heart that loved God. But in that moment, all of it was blurred into the background. He coveted another man's wife, coerced her with his power, got her pregnant, and then murdered her husband to cover it up, thinking he had gotten away with it. God sent the prophet Nathan to confront him about the sin that no earthly king could ever cover up. How does this happen? How does something like this seemingly come out of nowhere? Turns out, it didn't. It wasn't a one-off lapse. It was a crack in David's character that had been forming over decades. And it finally gave way when opportunity presented itself. We like to think that sin rushes into our lives suddenly, but more often than not, it's not the fruit of years of neglect. He said this was true for David. David had a thing for women from the very beginning, a trait that is evident throughout the story of his life. It appears first in the request for the reward of Goliath. He asks multiple times about the reward for killing Goliath, including the promise of a royal wife, the king's daughter. But he wasn't content with one wife. He married Michal, then Abigail, then Anohim, then Maacah, and Haggith, and Abital, and Eglah. By the time he got to Jerusalem, he took more wives, more concubines, and more sons. His household and his fatherhood were in a state of disarray. This wasn't just bad decision-making. It was a direct violation of God's law. In Deuteronomy 17, 17, God said for the kings, he must not take many wives, or his heart will be led astray. These commands weren't optional or were advisory. They were meant to guard the king's heart from pride, compromise, and idolatry. The accumulation of wives in ancient royal culture was a sign of power, prestige, and political alliance. But David wanted his king to be different. But God wanted his king to be different, set apart and holy. David, despite being a man after God's own heart, ignored this. There's no record of confrontation about his polygamy early on. We have no record of his mighty man bringing this up. Maybe it was overlooked because of his military victories. Maybe because of his rich life of worship, or because he was the anointed one and a king better than Saul. God have mercy on a leader, a man or a woman whose success silences others from calling them out. Yet every wife he added, every boundary he crossed, subtly reshaped his vision of leadership. It turned anointing into entitlement that resulted in disaster. David's story is a case study of how unchecked compromises accumulates over time to devastating effect. What begins as a devotion turns into ambition. What starts as gratitude can morph into greed. What God forbids becomes something we justify in the name of success. Here's an equation for failure that starts small but builds towards collapse. Look on the screen. Weakness plus neglect plus opportunity equals failure. Weakness in your flesh, neglecting it, and there's an opportunity, will bring failure. David had weaknesses, so do we. That's not the problem. The problem is, look on the screen, when we hide them, when we minimize them or spiritualize them instead of confronting them. Over time, these neglected cracks create fault lines in our soul. And all it takes is one opportunity, a moment of discouragement alone, a season of stress, a DM at the wrong time, and a dam of accumulated compromise breaks out. Psalm 51 is a beautiful story and cry of repentance. But forgiveness doesn't remove consequences. David's family unraveled in violence and betrayal. Amnon assaulted his sister. Absalom murders Amon. Absalom sleeps with David's concubines on the rooftop. And the baby born from David and Bathsheba's union died. And the prophet Hosea says this, "If you sow to the wind, you will reap the whirlwind." David's life is a sobering reminder that you can be anointed and used by God and still lose everything if you refuse to deal with your shadow. What a tragic cost sin is when left to its own. Marriages end, children confused, legacies lost. But the greatest tragedy? Most of it could have been prevented if someone had dealt with the cracks earlier. If you're hearing this and you feel that inner jolt of conviction, that's good. That's the mercy of God. He loves us too much to let us be controlled by our own sin. Don't listen to the lie that you will deal with the secret later on, or this won't affect you, or that you can handle on your own. Bring it into the light. Ask for help. Be honest. Sin on its own won't destroy your life. God can forgive and God can redeem, but hiding it and trying to manage it on your own will. Come on, stand with me. Would you do it? Three things in conclusion. As you look on the screen and we look at our own life, what do we do this morning? Number one, we confess our cracks. Where are you vulnerable? Where are you hiding? What issues do you have that maybe you've minimized for years? Let the light in. God, help me. I'm being tempted here. God, I've given in here. Confess your cracks. Find a counselor. Find a godly man, a godly woman. Talk to them. Confess your cracks. Secondly, strengthen your soul. Strengthen your soul. Read the word, not just for content. Read the word for power. Fast, pray. Get rid of whatever's numbing you, whatever's numbing your emotions to not love God. Strengthen your soul. Thirdly, set up guardrails in your life. Don't wait for opportunity to arise. Cut it off. Build rhythms of confession in your life. When something's going on, a temptation comes. Someone said the best way to fight against temptation is to avoid it. Avoid it. Start building things in your life. I love God. I want you more than anything. Whenever something comes up, the fear of God comes strong in your heart and your soul. Listen to me, church. We don't manage sin. We confess sin. We don't manage it. We don't dance around it. We call it out in our own life. Proverbs 28 says this, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Mercy. Come on, close your eyes. Would you do it all over the room? David's story, look, just doesn't end in failure. It doesn't end in failure, but it's marked by just regret. He was a man after God's own heart, but he had some struggles and challenges, manifold temptations, victorious over some, and some disaster over others. Come on, all over the room, just lift a hand to the Lord. Would you do it this morning? Father, we're drawn near to you right now, and we're asking you to be a very present help in our time of trouble. We're coming to the altar. We're coming to the altar right now. We're coming to the altar of your grace to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Come on, if you need to confess a crack right now before there's a collapse, come on, right there in your, right there under your breath, right there while you're there with your hands raised, just ask the Lord. Ask the Lord to come into your life in a new way. Come on, we're going to just sing this song. We're going to sing this song right now. If you need to come up to the front and just say, Lord God, I'm coming. I'm laying everything down at the altar this morning. I'm coming to you, Lord God. I'm asking you to deliver me from every temptation.